Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Amen. Isn't it good to be with God's people in the presence of the Lord, involved in that divine conspiracy? Looking around the room, so good to see you. We have a number of our kids out of town and at a retreat, and then we have, I think, Monday's Columbus Day. And so I know that Kimberly and the kids are down in Galveston with her, visiting her brother. They're taking an opportunity to be down there because school's out. And so we have some of the kids in from Kids Church with us today because there was a little Slim Pickens today. So some of you going, Slim Pickens is here? Where? I didn't see him. And so here we are in the month of October. We're getting ready for outreach. We like to do that every 90 days. And the bottom line is we want to open up that well of salvation, and we want to see people come to know Christ as Savior. Amen? Don't we? Yeah, okay, I just wanted to make sure. If you have your Bibles with you and you'd like to turn there, you can go to the book of Ephesians. Just when you thought we were done with the concept of cosmic Christianity, we are certainly have focused on the eight blessings, and we walk through that. We're still staying on this theme of cosmic Christianity, and I want to talk to you today about three pivotal prayers. Three pivotal prayers. And we hear these from the Apostle Paul, and if this is something we could receive a challenge today and just instill this in our life, this is a powerful and very basic lesson in how we can connect with God and connect with all that He has for us. I don't know about you, but I'm interested in that. I'm interested in connecting with God, and I'm interested in connecting with all that He has provided for us. But we do want to remember those eight blessings, and we have them spelled out for us very simply there on that slide. Number one, we're blessed in the heavenly realms. We're chosen to be holy, blameless before God. We're predestined to obtain adoption. When we accept Christ, He has a plan for us. And what is that? For us to walk out this fullness of what it means to be adopted by God. Isn't that awesome? We have redemption through His blood. We have the sin question and the failure question covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. He has made known a great mystery, and that is to unify everything in the heavens and in the earth. God wants to bring things together. Why does He want to do that? Because right now, things are kind of blown apart. Have you noticed that? We have seen, if we haven't been paying attention, I think that we could probably detect, even though we may not be a PhD in history or in civics or public policy, that the country of America is just a mite bit divided. And it is a revelation, even in our country, of that which is going on within the heavenly realm and within the earthly realm. This is the precise problem. There is a great division. How many of you notice when there's division, peace is absent? Conflict is at a high. Voice levels are raised. Violence raises. But I have some great news for you. There is somebody that we know, His name is Jesus, and one of His titles is Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Peace. And that saying that I've seen on bumper stickers, and it's a play on words, it's easier to see it than if I say it. You say, well, what's the difference? Because the wonders of the English language, you can say several words that sound identical, and yet they are different, like so and so, and two and two and two, or a word like this, no Jesus, no peace, K-N-O-W, no Jesus, N-O, and N-O, no peace. Isn't that true? That's a truism. It's a wise statement. It's a great insight. And we have some great hope, and that is He has made known a mystery to us, that it is His desire to unify everything in Jesus. Outside of Jesus, there is no unity. But within Jesus, we have the potential for unity, if we'll just cooperate. Amen? If we'll just cooperate. How many of you remember the poster that, and I remember this back in the 70s as one of those inspirational posters that showed a beautiful seashore and a set of two sets of footprints and then one set of footprint. And in there it said, when you saw one, I didn't abandon you. That's when I picked you up and carried you. I saw one recently that showed one set of footprints and a whole lot of scuffing and dragging evident in the sand beside it. And that's really a realistic picture. That's when you wrestled with me, you fought me, and there was a scuffling going on because I was wanting to lead you one way and you were wanting to go the other. And how many of you know that it kind of makes a mess in the footprints in the sand? He unifies everything. That the Jews would be the first hope and they would be for the praise of His glory, and we still have an expectation of that. That causes us to keep our eye on Israel, because Israel is God's calendar and God's timepiece for what He's doing within the earth. And Gentiles, how many of you are Gentiles here today? Huh? Right? Some of you may be Jewish and not know. I want to do that mouth swab thing and I want to find out. You know, hey, wouldn't that be great if somehow if all of us did. But the chances are, in any congregation or crowd, not gathered in a synagogue, that chances are that very few people in that building will be of Jewish extraction, which leaves us as Gentiles. Now, that doesn't leave us without hope, because God has a grand plan, and the Gentiles have been included in everything. How? By simply believing His word. Faith. Isn't that awesome? By faith. And then marked in Him with the seal of the Holy Spirit. When a person is born again, born from above, born by the work of the Spirit, and they're reconnected with God, there is a mark placed upon them that all the angels of heaven see and recognize, that all the unclean spirits of the netherworld see, and all the unclean and fallen angels, they all recognize. They can look at you and know instantly, this one was born again. This one belongs to Zion. This one has the mark of God upon them. Isn't that awesome? So look at your neighbor and say, that'll leave a mark. Yeah. When you encounter Jesus, it always leaves a mark. And everyone can be a witness of that and a testifier of that. Now, what we just laid out were those eight blessings. And if you can't think of anything else, jot those down, and I've just given you eight things that you can thank God for. Eight things that are biblical, and you can thank God for them. And just jot them down. Some of you are taking a picture. I'll just get in the picture there with you. Those are eight things that you can thank God for, and that leads us right into our scripture this morning, and I want to talk to you about three pivotal prayers. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 17, we go on from those wonderful lists of blessings, and we hear Paul say, starting in verse 15, I'll read, I'm not sure I put it up there, but I'll pick it up. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus, who's he speaking to? He's speaking to a largely Gentile church who have been included in those blessings because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Word of God. And he says, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, for all the holy ones, for all of those that he has set apart to himself, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. So if we can eavesdrop on the prayers of the Apostle Paul, this man who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, this man who had revelation of the gospel, if we hear his prayer life, I think there's a good model there. Remember, the disciples went to Jesus and said, how shall we pray? And so the Apostle Paul is sharing his heart with us, the church. He's speaking to us this morning. And he's saying, I give thanks for you. I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. So this is a continual activity of the Apostle Paul. Ever since I heard about it, I've been giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking. Now, how many of you know that prayer, the first part is thanksgiving, isn't it? Now, the next part is there is an attribute of prayer that involves asking, supplication, laying requests before God. He says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Everybody say wisdom and revelation. So that you may know Him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart, everybody say eyes of your heart, may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, in order that you may know the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints. And I'm taking the distributive principle here of terms in English, and in order that you might also know His incomparably great power for us who believe. What an awesome prayer. And so I want to take us through this, and I'm actually going to suggest to you that you lay this out as a model for prayer. And this very powerful piece of prayer, it's actually a prayer. It's actually a good beginning to your prayer life. Now, I don't know about you, but I've gone through some development and change in my prayer life, and when I started out, it wasn't very impressive. It may still not be. But as a child or as a young man, I would want to get directly to the point. And so prayer to me was you bow your head and say, Lord, I really want that 12-speed bicycle. Lord, I'd really like that new car, or how about a 1969 Camaro Supersport Midnight Blue? Huh? And so I was really into asking God for stuff. And you know what? As American believers, as materialistic people in the Western Hemisphere, and a people who are incredibly blessed upon the face of the earth, it's amazing what we have. But it's amazing at the same time that we, if not careful, are constantly expanding and elaborating on our wants list. And we spend a great deal of time in our requests, and usually requests for stuff, and we don't spend enough time on this first point. So I'm going to challenge you to allow the Lord to revolutionize your prayer life. Amen? Just allow the Lord to revolutionize your prayer life. And I want to give you some principles this morning I believe can do that. I know that they have revolutionized my prayer life. I want to share with you just a brief moment before we go any further, just as an illustration to kind of guide us here into this first point, that I realized a couple years ago that I was heavy on the requests side. Now, they can be very noble requests. Give me a burden for the lost. Lord, would you teach me a way or show me how to win someone to you? Let's close the gap between that person and you. Let's do a better job here. Let's do a better job there. And as a pastor, I want to tell you, pastoring, you have a lot of things to pray for. You know, I can look across a few items. This morning I need prayer. Somebody going, was he looking at me? Is he looking at me? But I found that I was getting down to business with God, but I was not doing a good job at being grateful. Here's the pattern. Here's a disturbing pattern that I detected in my life, and I'm just, confession is good for the soul. And here's the disturbing pattern I found in my life. I found that I had a tendency to pray and pray faithfully over an item. And when I got an answer, I crossed it off the list and just began praying with all that energy over another item. But I was spending virtually no time going to the Father and thanking Him for what He had done. I began to feel a conviction in my spirit that, in fact, secretly, perhaps I thought I was entitled. Or that I had done all the work in prayer that I needed to do, so God had paid me by answering my prayer. And I was missing some points that were very vital and very important. And so the Holy Spirit challenged me And he said, how about if you spend the supermajority of your time in prayer simply recounting what I've done for you and thanking me? Well, that sounds pretty radical. I thought I'd be able to go for 2 or 3 minutes and then I'd be bored. But the Holy Spirit came alongside of me and he began to illuminate my understanding and he began to help me with my memory. And he helped me go back and see the details I had missed before about exactly what God did on my behalf and why he had done it. And I found that I could fill up 40 or 45 minutes in thanksgiving. And we're talking about intimate, direct things that had been an answer to prayer, and not even the big ticket items like, he had rescued me. He had made sure that I was evangelized, that people had poured into my life and all those other things. And I could certainly think about those items, but he began to bring about something, this, listen to this, an intimacy into my life where I began to realize that God was doing things for me with his handwriting upon it simply because I was his and he loves me. And I began to pick up on the things that I had blown past with all of my energy and busyness focused upon the big ticket items I was trying to get accomplished in my life. And I am so thankful to the Holy Spirit that he made me uncomfortable and had a discussion with me and said, you are spending no time in thanksgiving, but you're always basically saying, okay, I need this now. I need this now. Now, let's just admit something as human beings. Needs are endless. And very legitimate needs are endless. Let's all just come to grips with this. You are always going to need something. You're going to always really legitimately need something, and even a very important thing. A life-giving thing. A life-sustaining thing. A life-enhancing thing. Sometimes just to live. We're going to realize that there are things that we have need of and we're always going to have need. Need and want are two sisters that are always going to be with us and they're never going to be satisfied. That's what Solomon tells us in the book of Proverbs. But we have this very powerful tool of prayer called thanksgiving. The incredible power of thanksgiving. So you listen again to what Apostle Paul said. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped, what? Giving thanks for you. Remembering you in my prayers. Now, when it comes to people, how many of you know there's a lot of people that are really hard to be thankful for? Now, here's the Apostle Paul with the epitome of spiritual revelation, writing 2/3 of the New Testament, and yet he is writing a letter to the Ephesian church, a collection of mostly Gentile converts and a handful of Jewish believers pulled together in unity in Christ, and they're living in a very pagan, idolatrous society, and he writes to them and he says, I thank God for you. Boy, just starting right there is a stretch. But there is something going on in the Apostle Paul that he recognizes the grace of God that is in them, and he's recognizing the refreshing of his spirit which comes from those people, regardless of how mature or immature they are in the Lord, how long they've worshipped the Lord or not. The fact of the matter is, they refresh him, and he thanks God for them. Now, why does he do that? I've told you before, and I'm going to continue to lay this before us, we need to hear this as a congregation, because we need to live in an opposite spirit from that which is around us. And one of the most prevalent spirits that we deal with in a materialistic Western society like we live in America is a sense of entitlement. And one of the neat things that I learned from Dr. Wayne Lee, who taught my master's course in church development, is one thing he would always tell us, the Lord calls us to live in the opposite spirit of the prevailing spirit where you're at, the situation you're at, the circumstances you're at, where your church is, where your community is, where people are at that time. The Lord always calls us to live in that opposite spirit of that. That's one of the passive ways that we have salt and light happening, especially salt. And it's a way that we preserve the environment. And so he challenged us to that. And so the Lord began to help me to understand, when a person is thankful, do you know how rare that is? It is rare. Children wrestle with it. Teenagers wrestle with it. Adults wrestle with it. We never come to the place where we don't wrestle just at least a little bit with this idea of thanksgiving. Because it's something which runs contrary to our sense of entitlement. And we're living in a spirit and an age which people are saying, I demand that you give me what is mine. And if they were to get that, the Lord was to answer that prayer, it would be pretty messy. But we have to remember that mercy is not getting what is yours. Mercy is getting what is God's. Not getting what it is you should get, which is a penalty, which is a distance, which is a difficulty, which is a trial, which is horrible. And we have to realize something, that the mercy of God has intervened and has opened up a door for us. And the Apostle Paul is tapping into this idea of the power of thanksgiving, and he lays that out. I've not stopped giving thanks for you. So, lack of thanksgiving is the indictment of God against all of humanity. I've said this before, I'm going to continue to say this, because we really need to get this down in our spirit. The book of Romans, the first chapter, tells us about the indictment of God against humanity. How many of you know what an indictment is? Or how about a ruling? How many of you heard of a court ruling? They open up that ruling and they say exactly what you've been found guilty of, and then there's a sentencing phase. But you are found guilty of the following counts, and there's an explanation of how it was that person exactly broke the law. When you read the book of Romans chapter 1, you're reading the divine results of a trial and what God has found man guilty of. Romans 1. When Jesus was approached in John chapter 3 and is speaking to Nicodemus, he says, the Son of Man did not come to what condemned the world, because it had already been condemned. Who condemned it? God did. And he had done it in the past. In fact, he had already provided a way of salvation before the condemnation was handed down. Isn't God so good? Isn't God so good? Amen? So, lack of thanksgiving is the indictment of God against all humanity. He says that they might recognize him, but they do not give him what? Thanks. They do not give him thanks. Some of you said, I've heard this before. That's right. We're going on to point number 2 and number 3. But if we could establish in our prayer life an attitude of thanksgiving and speaking to God from a grateful heart. Amen? Now, our first prayer may need to be this, and this was my prayer. Holy Spirit, you're going to have to come alongside me and help me, because my heart is not oriented that way. And I need your adjustment. I need your help. Only you know how to change the heart of a person, and I'm willing. Would you please help me to step into this spirit of thanksgiving and act on this thanksgiving and establish a balance in my life and bring a balance to my prayer life, and let me, and it comes right back to that thing that I'm just constantly on, and that is, we come into his presence with thanksgiving. That's how we get in his presence. This is an attitude that becomes our attitude, that we are grateful. Now, how many of you have ever been around grateful people? And you knew it. How do you know? Oh, you know. How many of you have ever been around ungrateful people? Don't point at anybody now. But we know what that feels like. Now, let me ask you this. Who would you rather be around? Somebody who's grateful or somebody who's ungrateful? Okay, God is no different than you are. Who would God rather be around? People who are grateful for him. There's distance when there's lack of gratitude, but there is presence when there is a presence of gratitude. So thanksgiving is the perfect attitude adjustment. So we can get our attitude right in prayer. We can get our attitude right before God. And who's here to help us do that? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been given to us to do this work in us, and if we are willing. If we are willing. Now, something I want to draw your attention to throughout actually the first chapter, and we find it also in here, is we're going to run into a word, a very conditional word, and we're about to do that right now as we go on to point number two. He talks about the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Everybody say wisdom of revelation. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17 says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. So that you might know Him better. Now notice there's a word that appears twice. I underlined it each time. It says, may. May give you. And so that you may know Him better. What does this tell us? It doesn't tell us anything about the will of God. It tells us everything about the will of us. God cannot reveal Himself and become better known to a person who is unwilling to know Him. Make sense? Some of you are saying, duh. We understand that. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. Conditional. But it's not conditional upon God. God is not fickle. I am. God is not wishy-washy. I am. God doesn't blow cold and hot. I do. That's me. That's not God. I have a problem with consistency. I have a problem with attitude. I have a problem with this. But I'm standing before the perfect, awesome, and wonderful God who has chosen to reveal Himself to us as Father. So what we need to understand is, for us in prayer, the point of prayer, the number one point of prayer, we come with an attitude, we come and change an attitude and get into His presence. And then, in His presence, we have intimate relationship with the Father. That's job number one. That's what prayer is about. The foremost thrust of prayer is to come in and thank Him for what He has done, because everything He's already done for us. Hello? We read that earlier in the eight blessings. It's all past tense. He gave. He offered. He poured out. He provided. It's all past tense. Why? Because He loves us. He's made provision for us already. Amen? Isn't that awesome? From the very foundation of the world. So now we understand that job number one of prayer is not to acquire what it is I think that I need, but it is to come into deeper, more profound, and more intimate relationship with the Father. Now, some of you may be a little skeptical, so I'll give you some other scriptures. How about James chapter 4, verse number 8? Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. See, isn't that conditional? If you will, then I will. How about this one? Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Wow. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Psalm 103, verse number 7. Boy, I just love this insight into Moses. He made known, this is speaking of God, Yahweh, He made known His ways to Moses, His deeds to the people of Israel. You hear that? He made His ways known to Moses. He made His deeds known to the people of Israel. What's the difference? There are people in this congregation, people all over this planet, who have a sense that God does mighty things. Amen? But some of those same people who will concede the point that God does great and mighty things can't answer the question why He does. What is His motive? What's in His heart when that happens? And because they do not know His heart, it opens up the door for falsely accusing God of doing or not doing based upon the fact whether He loves me or He doesn't. Let me just settle a fact for us this morning. Let me just tell you an immutable fact. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God loves you. And he invites you into relationship with himself. The whole crux of the issue is whether we will say amen to his promise. Whether we will respond to his invitation. Whether we will act upon faith, which says that if I will go after him, he will be found of me. If I will seek his face, I will find him. We can hear Jesus say, knock and keep on knocking, seek and keep on seeking, ask and keep on asking, and then it will be opened. Why? Because Jesus understands that we have to come into relationship with the Father to know the heart of the Father, and then we align our prayer life with the heart of the Father, and what's the result of that? 100% prayer answers. Are you with me? How many of you like 100% effectiveness in prayer? How many of you agree that Jesus was 100% effective in prayer? Yeah? What was the secret? He knew the heart of the Father. He knew the wisdom of God. He was full of wisdom and revelation. And so a spirit of wisdom and revelation is critical for you and for me to get to know God. Why did he give you? The first number one reason he gave you the Holy Spirit was not to win an argument, but was so that you might have revealed to you everything that was given to Jesus and could connect with the fact that you're a son or a daughter of God, and you could begin to connect to all that that means for your life. It is a divine mystery. It's difficult, and unrepentant people will never figure it out. It's hidden from them. But when a person is born again and they begin to press into that relationship with the Father, then the Holy Spirit begins to reveal the spirit of wisdom and revelation. What does that mean? To take you and help you to so you can understand. And let me go on and just say it this way. Wisdom is more than knowing what God is doing, but what motivates God in doing what he's doing. That's the difference. That's what causes us to scratch our head and go, what's going on here? When the spirit of wisdom answers that question, you now understand what the heart of the Father is and what he's doing, so you understand why he did what he did. And that mystery begins to dissolve. Revelation is this. Revelation removes the covers from things and opens them up in order to be seen. God does not want to remain the eternal mystery to us. God wants to reveal himself to you. Amen? But it's a revelation. It's not to the guy on the street corner just standing there waiting for the light to change. It's for the person who is making it a priority in prayer to say, I want to know you. I want to know your heart. I want to know what makes you think what you think. I want to have that same spirit that was upon Jesus work upon my life and begin to uncover and unveil and help me to see. Give me this spirit of wisdom and revelation. Notice that the Apostle Paul said he might. It's not because God is fickle, because we are. Paul knows the potential. And he's just inviting us in the Ephesian church. He's just inviting us in the glorious church of the Lord Jesus Christ to take him up on it and say, oh, I want to know you. I want to be in relationship with you. And prayer is my primary way of doing that. Now, this is going to rock your world just a little bit. But intimacy with the Father is not established by the Bible. Intimacy with the Father is established because of what the Bible has declared. He has declared this mystery that we have relationship with him. And prayer and the work of the Spirit in our lives of revelation brings us into deeper and meaningful relationship with the Father. So he says that he might reveal that there would be a spirit of wisdom and a spirit of revelation. Number three. Everybody turn to your neighbor and say, he's on number three. Hallelujah. The third pivotal prayer. That the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. We sing that song, it's maybe been a while since we sung it around here. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. And the very literal, actual, physical type people sitting there going, that's kind of spooky. You know, heart has eyes, and that's kind of freaky, and so on and so forth. But the Bible uses that term. The eyes of your heart may be enlightened. The Apostle Paul then challenges them about a pivotal prayer, and he says that the eyes of your heart, what's he use? May. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Now, for those of you that were a little tension when I made the statement that it is the work of the Spirit to get us intimate with the Father, the Bible lets us know it can happen, but it is the work of the Spirit for us to experience it. It's not a knowledge by something you know from a book. It's something that you know because you experience it. You know the Father because you met with him this morning. Amen? That you met with him in a situation and you know him. You sense his presence. That the eyes of the heart may be enlightened. Now I want to release you into this. This enlightening happens by the meeting together of the Word and the Spirit. Okay? You're enlightened, lit up, energized. You know. How many of you, when you look at a cartoon, you remember when a person finally gets it, that aha moment, what do they see? Light bulb goes on. And then we use that statement, you know, the light's on, but I don't think anybody's home. The elevator's running, but not all the way to the top floor. And we have all kinds of comments like that, but we're making a comment on whether somebody understands it, whether they get it. And he talks about the hope of your calling, the riches of your glorious inheritance, and the power that is incomparably great. Where is that recorded? Throughout the Word of God. He has sown these diamonds all the way throughout his Word. And what we need is we need to have the connection between the Word and the Spirit to come alive in us and become food, to feed us. Now, Genesis chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 says this. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. So what happened there? God spoke. When God speaks, you have the Word of God. And why did it happen? Because somebody else was present there. And who else was present there? It says that the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So this is a meeting together of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And when those two come together, what happens? Explosive light. Light. To become enlightened. So he says, when the eyes of your heart be open, so you might become enlightened to what? Lit up, energized, knowing what occurs when the Word and the Spirit meet. And that's when you make that connection with the Word of God, when the Holy Spirit illuminates it to you, and it illuminates your understanding, and all of a sudden, the light goes on. And I'll tell you what, when the light goes on, that's a powerful thing. That's something that happens when you prayerfully study and pray the Word of God. It becomes something that if the Spirit and the Word come together, and when it does, something happens in your soul. You get it. It's revealed into your soul. You understand it. That's why Paul says a spiritual man, a natural man does not understand the things of God. He can't ever understand it. Why? Because the critical role of the Holy Spirit must be present there to take this Word of God and combine with it and make life happen and make light happen. And it can't be because I have an encouragement for every one of us in this room. It has nothing to do with how literate you are, how well you spell, and how well you read. It is all about how well you know the Word of God and take it to Him in prayer and allow the Holy Spirit to energize it. And He can take the least among us and make us the most powerful Bible expositor and the powerful knower of the Word of God. And not only will they know Him, but they'll walk in that power of that Word. Isn't that awesome? Give the Lord a hand clap. That's awesome. Three pivotal kinds of prayer. If I could just cut and paste that, paste it into your heart and turn you loose on it, I'd love to do that. But here's something I'd like to do this morning. And I'm going to ask every one of you to stand before we go. It's 1 minute till 11. Some of you are in total shock. There's some of you here this morning that say, you know what, Pastor, I can identify with you that I can oftentimes blow past the Thanksgiving and get right back to the new item I need to have answered. Well, Lord, since I saw you answer that, healed that cataract, removed that cancer, did that, I've got another deal for you I need you to answer. Folks, that's where I was living. I'm not saying you're a total pagan and heartless and don't know God. I'm saying you're a normal human being. And it's difficult. One of our great challenges is to live in gratitude. It really is a great challenge. And so I'm going to give you three opportunities to respond, and I'm going to invite us to the front, and I want to pray over you. I want to pray over you like an apostolic prayer. I want to connect with the Apostle Paul. I want to pray a prayer like he prayed. But I want you to just prepare your heart right now and say, you know what, I just want the Holy Spirit to visit with me. I really need to spend more time being grateful. And believe me, he can show you the things you need to thank God for. I was shocked at the things he brought up from the past where he answered and I wasn't even aware of it. And I overlooked it in my haste to get to the next item on the list. And he helped me to revisit that. Not in a condemning way, but I sat there and said, oh, Father, wow, I never thanked you for that. You know, I noticed in my own life, my own natural life, that as I got older, I became more appreciative of my parents. This is an ugly secret, but when I was 15, I didn't have near the appreciation at 15 that I did at 25. I know, pretty dicey that I'm here, your pastor, with an ugly background like that. But as I got older, I grew more appreciative for the things. And you know what they prophesied over me when they were telling me that I love you and I'm doing this because you'll thank me later? I went, I'm writing that in the book I'm not going to thank you for. You know what? I find opportunity over some breakfast, even to this day, to remember something and say, thank you. I was really blessed, and I didn't realize it. I didn't realize it maybe for 50 years. Hey, folks, we're going to get into eternity and then recognize some of the blessings of God. That's going to be part of the shouting, and that's going to be part of the thanksgiving in heaven. But let's get a jump on that this morning. Maybe you're having a difficult time with being grateful, and it's just easier for you to get on to the next thing. You believe God, you believe He can do anything. But if you're not careful, we're on to the next thing. After all, there's a lot of needs and a lot of requests. We got to get some business done. Then maybe the Holy Spirit could take you and help you to luxuriate in your thanksgiving. What would happen in your prayer life if you took 30 minutes and just thanked Him? Know what I found in my life? It got rid of some of the requests I thought I had. Because I found out either He had already met that or I really didn't need it. Because when I got done being thankful, it winnowed out my prayer list. It's a great starter. Start with thanksgiving. Maybe you just need to say, you know, I need help. I need to get with that. And I want to just pray God's anointing hit me today and help me to do that. The Holy Spirit is present here to help you with that. Number two, a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you might know Him better. You need the help of the Holy Spirit to know the heart of the Father. Things have to be removed. Things have to be illuminated and shown. And thirdly, something needs to happen in your life where you make a deeper fundamental connection to the Word of God and prayer so that that becomes life to you. It's not a rule book anymore, but it is life. And it's showing me my great inheritance. It's explaining to me the future and the hope that I have in Him because I find it in the pages of His Word. And the Holy Spirit is always faithful to take it and light it up. And when He does, I go, wow, that'll get me through today, man. The Holy Spirit just lit that up and showed me what God has provided for me. And I'm going to step into that. Amen? So in one of those areas, maybe all of them, you find yourself just kind of being touched this morning. Before we go from this place, I just want to invite you to come to the front. And I just want to pray over you. It won't take us long. Just a couple minutes. at any one of those three areas, just come. And some of you are making your way right now. Just come up. I'm not asking you which one. I'm not going to put a mic in your face and ask you, oh, you're number one problem, aren't you? Huh? Number two, uh-oh. Number three. This is about intimacy with God. This is about relationship. Paul was so excited for the Ephesian church because he knew what God had provided for them, and he knew also that they were having a hard time getting into it. He had seen that great revelation, and he knew how far they were away from that. And rather than get frustrated with it, you know what he says? I thank God for you. He sees these people going after God. He sees them imperfect just like he is, and he's grateful. He's thankful for the Ephesian church. And I just want to say, I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for you. We're not looking for perfect people. We're just looking for great starts, thankful people. Huh? I'll tell you what happens when you're thankful. The Holy Spirit just, he wants to nestle all over you. He just loves to be with thankful people. You want to feel him lift, kind of? Become ungrateful. Demonstrate that ungrateful attitude. And you see him saying, ooh, don't know if I want this right here in my presence. But man, when we're grateful, we come into the presence of the Father. Then the Holy Spirit comes and opens those things up, and he shows us the heart of the Father for us. And then as we take the word and we pray it and we take it seriously, bit by bit and line upon line in prayer, Lord, where does this need to come into my life? How does this come into my life? How does this work? And as we do that, he begins to enlighten us. And anybody who knows, here's how it seems like. The Holy Spirit just takes a highlighter and highlights your Bible. How many of you have had that experience? That's what Paul's talking about. Enlightening. You show it to somebody else and they go, huh? But man, you look at it and you go, woo! Why? Because it's something going on in your life at that time by the power of the Holy Spirit. He said, I pray for you. I thank God for you. So I just want to pray over you. And I'm going to pray over me at the same time and out of my heart, because I'm walking through this right now. We're all walking this together. Just close yourself in with the Lord. Raise your hands right now. Say, Lord, we're just looking. Holy Spirit, we really need your help. If we're not careful, we have a very short list of things to be grateful for. And we're going to ask you, first of all, this morning, Lord, would you expand our thankful for list? Would you help us to write it down in the margin of our Bible? Would you help us to take a tablet and begin to write out all the things you have done for me that I can just put on paper? And maybe tuck it in our Bible. And next time we pray, go down and begin to thank you about that. See, Holy Spirit, if you won't anoint that and expand that. If you won't expand that list. If you won't deepen that list. If you won't show us a few more details than we were aware of in that situation and circumstance. Holy Spirit, we need your help. Would you teach us, Holy Spirit, how to luxuriate in the thanksgiving towards God? Would you help us do that? Would you help us? We need your help. If we're not careful, we come down with a line item of request. But Lord, we just want to spend quality time with you being grateful and having you teach us how to be grateful. Lord, Holy Spirit, we recognize that you're the one who searches the deep things of God, and you reveal the heart of the Father. Jesus said, I must go away so the Holy Spirit will come, and he'll lead you into this. This is his job. So Holy Spirit, we just recognize this morning we are 100% dependent upon you to do a revelatory work in us and a wisdom work in us so that we might know the ways of God that seem so mysterious, and that we might walk in those ways, and that we would not falsely accuse the Father, but we would open up our heart and that we would go after him. Lord, Holy Spirit, would you help me? Because I want to be a seeker of God. I want to be a chaser after God. I want to be a runner after God. I want to be somebody who hears that word that says, if you'll come and you'll seek me early, if you'll go after me, you'll find me. You'll find me. And I'll reveal myself to you. It's relational. It's intimate. It's close. It's personal. Holy Spirit, would you help us to just get into the presence of the Father? Jesus craved that for us. He desired that for us. Paul craved that for us, and I crave that for us. And then finally, Lord, we pray, would you help us to take your word and for it to be more than just a dry parchment with some letters upon it. Holy Spirit, you were there when it was inspired. You moved through those men's heart. You showed them things in their mind. You absolutely enlightened them. And they wrote what you revealed to them. You are the same today as you were then. Would you come alongside of us, Holy Spirit? Would you teach us? Would you enlighten us? Would you just set that word on fire? But even more, Holy Spirit, would you help us? Some of our hungers have waned and some of our thirst has waned. We need you to rekindle that in us. We need you to rekindle that in us this morning. We really need to become hungry and thirsty again. We really need a fundamental work down in our spirit that has to do with your word and how it's anointed and how it comes to life. Lord, I'm praying over Vision Church this morning that we be a people just like the Ephesian church Paul could be thankful for and you could be thankful for. That we be a people after your heart, knowing what it means to be in relationship with you, and then knowing what it means to be a child of God, walking out that hope and that sense of the future and that destiny, and embracing it and embodying it and demonstrating the living word of God to people who are backslidden, people who are broken, and people who are lost, and really being set on fire by your presence. And people will just sense it and know it. Lord, I just pray that over this congregation. I pray that over these that have responded across this front, that you'll make us very effective prayer people, because we enter your presence with thanksgiving. We enter the presence of the Father, and we come to know him better out of relationship of the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And we come into your word, and your spirit meets us there and changes our thinking and changes our mindset and changes us fundamentally as people. Lord, we ask that in the mighty and the matchless name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen and amen. Well, as we go from this place, let us go with thanksgiving and go into his presence every day and think of something, big ticket items or small things, that you enter his presence with thanksgiving. Lord, bless us as we go.